A Japanese Dream in 79 Letters. An epistolary novel by Martin Glimmer. This is episode 14 out of 14. The text will be read by a machine. Therefore you may notice some mispronunciation, from time to time, especially when foreign languages are involved, like French, German, Dutch, and so on. And there is another item I want to bring to your attention, because the letters were written by a Japanese native speaker, and were given to me, to publish them as they are. It may occur that you will hear some semantic or idiomatic errors. However, the text can be understood easily and you will not be disappointed about that, I guess. 72nd Letter. January 16, 1977. Dear Hubert, thank you very much for your lovely picture postcard. I remembered, are eating the ice cream, around there, didn't we? My exams will be held in February 1st and 16th. I shall try too, Nara and Tokyo. Some days ago, I was so nervous, that my stomach went wrong, and last Tuesday, I had fever, 38.3 degrees Celsius. All I wish now, is, that these depressing exams would be over, as soon as possible. My sister-in-law, laid a boy, in December, but I'll never want to see either of them. At the end of last year, a relative of ours offered me an arranged marriage, and I applied for it, but was refused. The reason of their refusal is that I'm too intellectual. The man concerned is a future judge, aged 25. They refused me, even without seeing me. Today, I heard on the radio that nice song, Tango d'Amour, in French by Vicky something. The world is now treating me not so nicely, but I'm looking forward to spring to come. Then I'll have my hair cut, and probably I'll make a little trip. Namiko. 73rd Letter. Tokyo, February 16, 1977. Dear Hubert, this is from Tokyo. I'm writing to you now, in a post office, in the university. This morning, I had an exam in French. Now it's lunch time. This afternoon, I'm going to sit for the exam in English literature and linguistics. And tonight, I'm going home, if I can buy a train ticket, for a reserved seat. Yesterday, on my way to Tokyo, there happened an accident. Some bloody rascal informed the authority of his having installed an explosive stuff somewhere on the rails. Then, they went out for searching the explosive over a distance of 8 kilometers. During their search, which lasted nearly 2 hours, I was suspended in a stopped train. Because of that, this train was delayed in arriving in Tokyo, while normally it takes only 3 hours. But after all, no explosive was found out there, and it turned out that telephone call was a mere threat and a wicked mischief. When I first heard the announcement, I could not help but laugh. But soon after that, I came to wonder what would become of the passengers if there were really an explosive. But most of the people didn't seem to mind. They seemed to believe such a thing was impossible. But some of the passengers got angry, saying, "It's not something to laugh about," when the conductor made the announcement, half laughing himself. The district of the university has a kind of university atmosphere, but it's not so attractive to me. Utrecht is by far better. I wanted to send you a picture postcard, but I couldn't get it easily. So excuse me. With best wishes, Namiko. 74th Letter. March 4, 1977. Dear Hubert, thank you very much for your letter. Since I didn't hear from you for quite a long time, I imagined you were depressed, and your last letter proved that I was right. By now, I hope you are much less depressed, but if you still are, cheer yourself up, please. I cannot bear to imagine you getting so depressed and sad in this cold season. As for my exams, I'm glad to tell you that I succeeded in one, and that is Nara Women's University. As to Tokyo University, I was successful in the first step of exams, but the result of the final exam will be known only tomorrow. I thought of informing you of the results after everything is settled. But reading your letter today, I could not help taking a pen immediately to write to you. Anyway, I'll post this letter tomorrow after knowing the final result of Tokyo University. So far, I've been to Tokyo 3 times in the last month. This winter, it's reported that it is unusually cold and it snowed a lot. In Kyoto, there wasn't much snow, but for a few days in February, the tap water was frozen in my house too. When I was in Tokyo for the 3rd time, I saw on TV a fashing scene in Germany, and I remembered you once saying that during Carnival, people are allowed to do whatever they like. Recently, it is much less often that I get depressed. Instead of being depressed, however, I'm inclined to feel a tremendous sense of mental fatigue. Seeing the elderly people, I sometimes wonder how they could live for such a long time. One solution may be to think less or nothing of anything, for the more I think, the more this mental fatigue increases. But after all, it's impossible for me not to think. Nor do I wish to rely once again on that American psychiatrist of something, Dale Carnegie. I think one of the remedies against depression is that you get calm and relaxed enough to play with depression instead of trying desperately to escape from it. This couldn't be called a remedy, but there is no absolute or direct remedy for it. Maybe you can dodge it, though, not escape from it, to some extent, I hope. When my mental fatigue oppresses me too much, I still think of suicide. But at the moment, there's no definite motivation. If you can't be interested in your study, I think you could quit your university altogether. But I still think it better for you to stay there, at least until you get your first degree. You've been already halfway through it. Lastly, about my marriage, the man whom I told you that I might see said that he has no intention to marry now. It was only his mother who made a fuss and made a fool of me. It's really funny and ridiculous. That man is already 30. But he had a bad impression from his first partner of his arranged marriage, and since then, he is said to have been hurt in his feelings. What an adult child he is! He is a scholar. So far, I was offered 4 arranged marriages in the last several months. One of them agreed to have an interview with me, which I refused. One of them refused to see me from the beginning, and the rest of the remaining 2 had no intention to marry at the moment. Maybe, being a student again, I won't marry for the next 2 years. I sometimes feel it very nice to be single and free. Then I can do whatever pleases me. Japanese men are too conservative, and when I get my Master of Arts degree, the number of the men who dare to marry me will be reduced to a large extent. Poor Japanese boys. March 5, 1977. I failed in Tokyo University in the final exam, but I'm not shocked. For Tokyo is the worst city in the world that I've ever seen. I am glad that everything is over now concerning my entrance exams. I hope you will be all right as the spring approaches. And I also hope to hear from you soon. Namiko. 75th letter. March 18, 1977. Dear Hubert, thank you very much for your letter and for your hearty congratulations on my success in the exam. I owe a deep gratitude to you concerning this good result, for I was encouraged a lot by your encouragements so far. Maybe the university life will be a little bit boring because there are no boys except teachers, mostly old men, I'm afraid. But since the school is rather calmly located, it will do me good. The opening ceremony will take place on April The 8th. If everything goes all right, I shall graduate from here, after 2 years. It takes about 1.5 hours to go from my house to the university. Ironically, shortly after I knew the result, the happy feeling was gone. While I was preparing, I wished everything would be over as soon as possible. But when it was over, I was not very happy. There are very few things which really attract me in life. Anyway, something is better than nothing, do you agree with me? When I went to see a doctor the other day, he told me that there is a medicine that cures masked depression. But, unfortunately, he did not have diagnosed me as having a masked depression. So, he didn't give me that medicine. Are you going to have some holidays in March or April? Have you already planned your summer vacation? I hope you will not be depressed again till next November. Goodbye, Namiko. 76th letter. April 1, 1977. Dear Hubert, thank you very much for your letter. It was very interesting. It's more than 6 months already since I left you. I'm missing Holland very much now because I'm writing a record of that summer's lovely memories. I've already wrote about 160 pages. I'm now in Switzerland again. This process of recording forces me to recollect everything in detail, what happened then. It is so well written that sometimes it gives me a pain, overwhelmed by them, by the past and the reality that it is over. Absolutely, it is being a piece of picture forgotten. During the last several months, when I was busy in the preparatory studies for the exams, your existence seemed to me rather remote. But now, you reviving to my life again with such vividness. But what I wrote about you is the you of half a year ago, the you of the past, and I would not be surprised if you are changed in some ways since then. But I want to finish this work as soon as possible. I may write 100 pages more. The reason, or the motivation, is that I want to make it a proof of my youth, and that it will be useful for the better understanding of me by others after I die, quite early, abruptly, without remaining a will. So, I want to keep the writing to myself as long as I am alive, but when there is a chance, I would feel like showing it to a person who could really appreciate it. It is written in Japanese, and there is not a single sentence that would hurt your honor. I'm still very much obsessed by the idea of love and marriage. I understand, theoretically, very much that a marriage a little later is better than a too early marriage. But I seriously fear that it could be too late, and I could miss a chance forever. The other day, an uncle of mine visited us. When I told him my view of a future husband, that is, a lifelong accessory of my life, he got very angry and said, "As long as you maintain that view, it is better not to marry." But I stated that because I thought that any couple being married during a long time would be something like a dirty, unmoving water, like that of a canal. And if a marriage works well, the existence of the other partner will not value more than an air, invisible but essential to life. Maybe it's useless to think about the matter too seriously. If, in the future, I can be financially independent, and then I can find a person whom I like, I might choose the way to live together without marrying and to be separated when the love is over. At the moment, I have no such person. I've never touched any man since we parted. In spite of my obsession, it's not altogether true that I'm desiring a sexual partner now. I just want a man with whom I could enjoy the conversation and from whose world I could get something meaningful to my life. But, unfortunately, it seems that not many men believe in the possibility of friendship between two sexes, at least in Japan. That uncle of mine, I mentioned earlier, is, somehow, typical of an average Japanese man. He said that many husbands don't want their wives to be disputatious. When coming home from work, tired, they just want their wives to be obedient and serve for them. They also seem to regard their wives as a machine to breed and raise their children. Apart from those obsessions, I think I can enjoy being single. But, at the moment, there is one trouble, and that is the question of me leaving home or not now. In the long perspective, it's better to leave now, but I came to a conclusion that I won't, mainly for the financial reason. But I'm scolding myself for this timidity, for this hesitation. I might hesitate forever on this question to leave or not to leave home. But as I'm not independent yet, I think I shall stay home for the time being. There are many things to be solved if I leave it now, but there will arise lots of other troubles. But I still don't forgive myself for this hesitation. I sometimes compare this season of this year with that of the last year, with a lot of pain and sentimentality. You are lucky, because you are a native of Europe, and your spring will be sweet, and what is better, your summer will be sweeter, while my spring increases my frustration, and the heat of my summer to come will wither me. I have no plan for the next summer vacation, before I must adapt myself to a new environment, that is, school. I hope you'll enjoy your Easter holidays, and then will be successful in the following exams. Yours, Naomiko. 77th letter. Rokko, April 28, 1977. Dear Hubert, thank you very much for your letter from Aachen. This letter is from the Rokko Mountain, not the Rocky Mountains, unfortunately, which is located near Kobe. As a matter of fact, I ran away from home, seeking rest and quietness. I'm going to stay at his hotel for 4 days. It's 8:45 in the evening, and it is very quiet. Nara, where my university is rather calm, generally, but it's a bit depressing. Both, in class and in campus, the girls, I see, look like the gentle sheep. Me, a crazy étranger. I'm very much disappointed by this university. My fellow students, counting only 5, are mostly dull and stupid. Teachers, well, their spoken English is terrible. The building, it's lovely. We have even a special room for graduate students. Each student is given a good desk and chair, locker, and a lamp. We can make coffee or tea in this room as well. A professor came to our university from Wales, Britain, this spring. He is 40, single. He teaches English and literature. I take one of his lectures, though it's not for the graduate students. His English is clear, and he's quite all right. But he still seems to be a little nervous, because he only came here at the beginning of April, and obviously is not yet used to the Japanese way of life. One of the teachers has a humpback. It's painful to see him. Nevertheless, I took his lecture, because he's said to be very, very clever. The other day, I was introduced to a Canadian girl who is studying in this university. She's interested in the Japanese women writers. Though it's only less than 3 years since she started studying Japanese, her Japanese is quite good. Besides, she's very pretty and clever. She may be of the same age as me. On May the 19th, I shall be a temporary interpreter for an American old lady who will visit our university, accompanying her husband, a scientist, who is going to make a speech here. I'll show her around the city with one of my fellow students. Generally, I don't like old ladies. But I accepted this job because it will give me a good experience. I go to school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm quite busy. Apart from the preparations for the lectures, I must read many books for the Master of Arts thesis. And 3 times a week, I tutor the pupils at home, at night. The only advantage of being busy is to be prevented from thinking too much. But still, I am very nervous, because I'm not used to this university life yet. Though very tired, I can't sometimes go to sleep easily, because the stimulus I receive in a single day is so great that it whirls and whirls in my head at night. At home, the condition is terrible. I haven't spoken with my parents nearly for 3 weeks, except when the necessity impels me. When I left home this afternoon, my mother burst into tears. I'm really very lonely and solitary, both at home and in the university. I could talk with the fellow students, but the conversation flows only superficially. I'm making a very strong fence around myself, and whenever somebody touches it, I feel a great pain. You are one of the few who entered through this fence. I'm madly longing for Europe every day. It may be because the summer season is approaching. I feel as if I would be killed by the pressures of the memory. I forbid myself to envy others and to say that I'm deserted by the world. It's me who deserted the world. Comparing this year with the last year, I would not say that I was happier then than I'm now. But it could be said that I was happier, at least in the sense that I could have a dream. I could always hear your ever-sweet writing voice. Are you all right recently, by the way? I maybe already are ghost for you, may I not? Couldn't you sometimes give me a couple of sweet words? I'm not strong enough. I'm still lost and struggling in my solitary world. Yours, Namiko. 78th letter. May 11, 1977. Dear Hubert, thank you ever so much for your kind letter. It was really a bliss to me, and it cheered me up much, for I had been at the worst. But, unfortunately, I must tell you that I don't feel much better, yet I'm going downhill. It is really recently that I feel how absolutely right you were. This character won't change for life. I thought I changed as far as the suicide is concerned, but it wasn't right. For nearly 2 weeks, the idea of suicide doesn't leave my mind day and night, day after day. Everything seems meaningless, and when I am too weak like this, I have no strength to shake off such a feeling of emptiness. Everything and everyone looks terrible and impersonal. It's like a hell, or worse than that. I'm now under an obsession of cutting my wrist with a knife, but I can't. If I had that kind of courage, I would have done it much earlier. And you were also right, too, in saying once that this period of wandering or explosion in the earlier part of the 20s won't be over so soon. I wonder how you could have such a downright insight. When you first said that, I didn't believe you much, but now I think it's true. I'm still awfully unsettled mentally, and it may last for life too. I could never get grown up. You say I must make compromises, but what then if I refuse to do it? To refuse to do this means to refuse to live, right? But I want to live according to my likings and dislikes, and if I go on like this, the society won't accept me, as I'm too idealistic and ambitious and expect more than what life could give. It's always intensely painful to live. Sometimes I can't forgive the very existence of other people around me. Maybe as long as I have such a view of life, it deserves me right. I wonder how I could get out of this terrible dilemma. I can't deceive myself any longer. I'm fiercely angry with life. And what is worse, I'm beginning to hate Japan terribly again. I wish I could escape from it. Here, I feel as if I were a foreigner, for the way of living and the way of thinking here infuriates me. Even if I manage to earn my own living a few years from now, I couldn't live such a hard life alone. Marriage This may be one solution, but I'm too pessimistic of finding a person whom I could tolerate to live together with. As what I'll be in the end of this life, I can't imagine myself the totally alone, no parents, no brother, no friend, no health, no wealth. What a fate it is, having lived with pain after pain. You once said that if we're busy, we don't think much about this sort of thing. But it isn't true of me. For I'm quite busy these days, and still, I think and think in just the same way as I used to do. Maybe I could distract myself in one way or other someday later on. I hope so. Otherwise, it's too much. It's beyond me. Will you, please, write to me back a little more frequently during this terrible period of mine, as far as it doesn't disturb your study? What I need now is the mental support of any kind. And will you, also, please, accept my little request? Promise me to see me whenever I go to Europe next time, whenever it may be, or whatever you'll be doing then. If you would willingly say yes, it would be a constant consolation for me. I'm awfully sorry to write such a gloomy letter as this, and to be very selfish when I'm too weak. Last but not least, I wish you good luck in your exams, and I hope you'll have a nice summer vacation. Namiko. P.S. The picture postcard of Fuji saying, "It's late autumn." 79th letter. June 9, 1977. Dear Hubert, I must tell you that this letter is absolutely going to be the last letter to you. I want to start a new life. By the new life, I don't mean to commit suicide. To do this, I came to a conclusion that I must terminate any relation with you and get rid of all the memories concerning you. I have absolutely decided to stop writing to you and to refuse any further contact with you in Europe. This letter may seem quite sudden in your eyes, but I thought over this matter again and again and came to this conclusion. I think that both of us have now come to a new turn of life. I believe you can go your own way according to your own judgments. 2 weeks ago, I met a man, a Japanese, and fell in love with him. Unless there arise any troubles, I want to marry him in the near future. That means within several months. I do hope you will accept this declaration of mine good-naturedly. Still, please, do not forget my gratitude to you for the experiences I got from you. I really wish you happiness and good luck. Goodbye forever. Namiko. P.S. Please do not write to me anymore. This was the 14th episode of the epistolary novel A Japanese Dream in 79 Letters by Martin Glimmon. The text was read to you by a machine, and therefore some mispronunciation may have occurred here and there. And as I mentioned earlier, in the intro, it also may have happened that there were some errors in the construction of sentences, or some imperfection in the use of the correct vocabulary. I hope it did not disturb you too much. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.